Welcome to the 43rd episode of The Savory Shot. Y'all know who I be. I'm your host with the most, Mika McCook. I am a food photographer born and based deep in the heart of Texas, aka Austin, aka Wheel of Fortune weather. My Austin listeners, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? One day it is chilly, sweater weather, and the next day it is a Daisy Dukes kind of day. You never know what you're stepping out into. Y'all, I keep an umbrella, a sweater, a tank top, some flip-flops, all in my trunk because you just don't know what to expect. Am I right or am I right? First things first, y'all, I just want to give a special shout out and a special thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Whether this is your first time or your 43rd time here, welcome to what I like to call the Hot Mess Express. Before I forget, if y'all could do me a favor, if you could head over to Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to the show, but preferably Apple or Spotify, and give this show a 5-star rating. I know it does not seem like much, but y'all, it really, truly does help this podcast grow and therefore helps more photographers like you. So if you got a minute, please head over and give this show 5 stars. You don't have to leave a review, but I will always welcome kind words from you guys. But let's get into today's episode. Y'all, this episode is close to my heart. When I started my photography career, I started with a Canon PowerShot. No joke, y'all, it is not a professional camera. It is a point and shoot. And I did a lot of pointing and a lot of shooting. All of it was a hot mess. And back then, y'all, I was obsessed with bokeh, but I didn't know how to create it. So I tried to create it manually in Photoshop, and y'all, your girl thought she was a motherfucking genie. I thought I was a magician. I was looking at that screen like, look at that bokeh. Damn, I'm good. It was a hot mess. Come on, be nice to me, y'all. I was a baby. I didn't know what I was doing. I was trying to create bokeh, and I was new. I was a baby in the photography world. I didn't know what was up, what was down, left or right. This episode is for those who are in that boat right now. You are just stepping in. You want to learn food photography, but you are overwhelmed by everything, by the cost, by the stuff, by everything. And I get it. So if this is your first year as a food photographer and you are on a budget, honey, then Boothang, this episode is your guide to making big strides with small steps. But before we get into all of that, grab your coffee or your martini if it's been that kind of day. It's 6 o'clock somewhere, y'all. Grab all of that and let's start the show. Welcome to The Savory Shot, a bi-weekly show where we discuss the intersection of two passions, food and photography. I'm your host, Mika McCook. Every other Wednesday, I sit down to chat with professionals in the industry so that you feast on only the best tips and strategies in the business. All right, y'all, let's get started. Let me take y'all on a journey back to my early days, a time when my toolkit was as humble as pie. I didn't have much, y'all, but I had heart. That heart, that drive, that fire helped me launch a successful Indiegogo campaign, and I raised enough money to buy my first professional camera, which was a Canon 70D. That camera was my baby, y'all. I took it everywhere. It was like a newborn child. Where I went, it went. It was literally like an extension of my soul. And for the first 3-ish years of my career, that was my camera. That was my workhorse. I bought 2 lenses to go with it. I started booking work, and it got to a point where I had enough money that I could upgrade my camera body, which I did. I bought a Canon 5DSR, and that is now my workhorse. That is now my baby. But the Canon 70D will always be my first true love. I still have it, still love it, still use it. And I'll tell you this, there is nothing like the feeling of holding a camera, holding something bought with money earned solely from photography. And it was a beautiful feeling, y'all. Except in my excitement, I overlooked a crucial detail. Your girl spent all her money on a camera body without even thinking about the compatibility of the lenses. In fact, I was shocked to learn that there are lenses made specifically for crop sensor cameras and lenses made for full frame cameras. So I went from having three lenses to one, and I had $0 to invest in a full frame lens. So all I had to rely on was my nifty 50. That 50 nifty became my best friend. It became Velcro to my camera. And for a hot minute, most of my shoots were shot with that nifty 50. That time in my career taught me that the magic isn't in the gear, but in how you use what you've got. I just thought of this side note, and don't judge me. Don't you dare judge me. Does anyone remember the movie, The Players Club? I know it's raunchy. If you've seen it, don't judge me. But seriously, there's a quote I use all the time from that movie. It's, some of us got to use what we got to get what we want. And that's my mantra. Use what you got to get what you want. If you have not seen The Players Club, what are you doing with your life? Drop everything right now and go watch that wretched movie. It is awesome. And then, y'all, there was my $50 light kit. This light kit was nothing to brag home about. But when I left my day job, my former employer hired me as a contractor to photograph all the headshots for the new therapists coming in. I'd walk in to these clinics with my camera, with my $50 light kit. The light kit came with these thin cardboard light stands. And I still have those light stands and I still use them. Okay. But those sessions, they were a roller coaster, y'all, of hits and misses. Some headshots look bomb as hell with perfect lighting, not a hair out of place. And then there were some that just looked a mess. They just were a hot mess. And y'all, I blamed it all on bad lighting. I believed my light kit was trash and it screamed amateur. But my light bulb moment was understanding that it wasn't the lights that were holding me back. It was my know-how. And I didn't know shit. I didn't know a thing at all. It dawned on me that knowing your craft inside and out, it beats out any fancy equipment. Expensive equipment, it does not make for a better photographer. You don't understand lighting. You don't have the fundamentals. You can have the most expensive piece of equipment and you will still walk away with some shitty photos. Understanding this fundamental lesson changed the way I looked at and purchased gear. It taught me to value skills over tools, knowledge over gear, and most importantly, to start where you are with what you have. Because, my friends, that's where the real growth happens. I know I'm not the only one, but has this ever happened to you? In, I want to say 2016, 2017, my in-laws gifted me with a $50 gift card to Precision Camera, which is our local camera store. Y'all, I thought I was rich. I was like, yo, I am about to go on a spending spree. I got my car. I went straight to Precision Camera. Did not waste a minute. And I'm standing in the middle of this store. I'm surrounded by all of the latest gear, feeling like a kid in a candy store. I bolt straight towards the first softbox. And it was not long before I realized that $50 ain't shit. It might stretch to get a pack of printer paper or maybe some camera batteries or some SD cards, but any sort of equipment, ain't happening. So that was the day that I learned that equipment's expensive, real expensive. I stared longingly at this equipment and I just felt sad because I thought I needed all of this gear to be a real photographer. And it was such a bummer, like a real true bummer. One time I splurged on these two giant ass strip softboxes. And I was convinced that it was the missing piece to my puzzle. I need it. Y'all, I used them once. One time, one and done. And now they are hanging in my garage. They are gathering dust because I have not found an additional need for them. Another time I spent like $500 on an editing course. And y'all, that course was about as useful as wet toilet paper. I learned nothing and gained nothing from it. Bad financial choices made me seek out free and low-cost resources, like my library card. I started devouring like every book that I can get my hand on from my local library. I shopped at used bookstores, like Half Price Books. There were some books that I was willing to splurge on that I felt were really worth the investment. Books like Light, Science and Magic. I've talked about this before on the show. It is my Bible. Snapshots to Great Shots by Nicole Young. That was the first book, food photography book that I bought. These books really laid the groundwork for understanding not just the how, but the why behind great photography. Your girl leaned hard and heavy on YouTube tutorials and Coursera. Did you know that there are photography courses on Coursera? I did not think that was possible. But really, y'all, I just hit the pavement. I took my camera everywhere with me. My family calls me the paparazzi. Like, I was taking pictures of everyone and everything. I put myself in all kinds of different lighting situations and I practiced. I say all of this to remind y'all that investing in your education, it doesn't mean emptying your bank account. It feels like everywhere you turn, there's a course on everything. Do you want to know how to do stop motion? Do you want to take dark and moody photos? There's just shit everywhere. There's a lot of noise and you just don't know where to turn your attention. In the beginning, you feel like you are just buying courses left and right. And the next thing you know, you're pulling lint from your pockets and you're going, where the fuck did all my money go? So I say this to just remind y'all to be tight with your dollars and make do with what you have. Now, I'm not talking about being a cheap and dirty bastard, trying to shake every educator down, try to find the cheapest shit. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about being selective with what you invest in. There are courses out there that are definitely worth the money. I've invested in those courses and I still refer back to those courses whenever I need a refresher. There is equipment out there that I would buy again and again and again, but I don't need to buy everything. I don't need all the bells and whistles. I don't need all the latest and hippest courses. I don't need them. I want them, but I don't need them. My point is, starting and growing in photography doesn't mean you have to put yourself out of the house and home. Think about it. The best light source, the sun, doesn't cost a penny. Props starts with what you have in your fridge or around your house. The world around you is really bursting with potential opportunities. Y'all, I've used just about everything for lights. I used a halogen light bulb from Home Depot. I've used flashlights. You know what I did for props? Your girl loves trash bulk day. I'd go driving around Austin and I'd fill my car up with banging props. Sometimes people will come out of their house and they'd be like, what you doing? And I'd be like, oh, I'm a food photographer and I'm just looking for props for my photo shoots. And they'd be like, I got these plates. Do you want them? Garage sales are like chef's kiss, like for prop hunting. Thanks to Addie Broyles from episode 12. Go listen to that if you haven't already. I get so much stuff from my local Buy Nothing community. I learned this lesson the hard way. Don't fall into the trap of thinking debt is a necessary step on the path to becoming professional. It's a sacrifice. You got to sacrifice. It's not. What you need is creativity, a willingness to learn, and a bit of resourcefulness. In the end, the most powerful tool at your disposal, it isn't a high-end camera or the latest lens. It's your creativity and your grit. There's so much free resources out there. And combined with natural resources you already have access to, there's really nothing stopping you from taking your food photography from good to great. Remember, when there's a will, there's a way. And often that way shouldn't cost an arm and a leg. As you progress and you book more work, you'll know what to invest your money in. Like I said, there are courses and equipment worth buying. You'll reach a point in your career where you'll need to invest to learn advanced techniques or buy equipment that helps you do your job easier and more efficiently. But until you're booking work as a photographer, you need to be very selective about what you spend your money on. Here's the uncomfortable truth we all face. There's so much shit out there, so much glitzy and shiny new gear that's clouding our judgment on what's truly essential for our growth. It is so easy to get caught up in the latest tech and in the latest software. Y'all, confession, I almost bought this wheel filter thingy for my camera. I didn't know, and I still don't know how to use it or why I thought I needed to have this, but I'm glad that I didn't buy it because I think it would have been a real waste of money. So now before I buy any piece of equipment or invest in any course at all, I do a few things. First of all, I don't buy anything right away. I like to wait at least 24 hours before making a buying decision, or not even decision, consideration. Like, I like to wait 24 hours before even considering buying something. If after 24 hours, my heart is still like tugging, still yearning for that gear or that course, I ask myself 5 questions. First, is this a need or a want? And this one by far is the most difficult question to answer because sometimes wants feel like needs. And you know what? That's okay. It's okay to buy something you don't need but want, as long as you acknowledge that and take ownership of that. For example, last year at South by Southwest, I bought this paper shoot camera. It was a useless and admittedly impulse purchase. I don't need it. It helps me none in my career, but I love it and it brings me joy. I acknowledge that. I take ownership of that. Ain't no shame in my game. Second question, how will this equipment or course improve my photography? Answering this question ensures that every investment has a clear purpose and a benefit to your growth. There's a will and there's a why behind every buy. Ooh, I like that. I like that. There's a will and a why behind every buy. The third question I ask myself is, how many shoots would I have to book to get a return on my investment. This is a big one, y'all. It really ties into my second question. How will this improve my photography? The fourth question, and it's also a difficult question to answer, is how often would I use this equipment? If you are considering buying something and it's something you will use sporadically, you might want to consider renting instead. If it is essential for every shoot, it might be worth the investment. For example, I considered buying a tilt shift lens. I was just enamored with it. But after really thinking about it, I decided, I don't think I use it enough to justify the cost, because this is like a $3,000 lens, y'all. This ain't cheap. But my 105 macro, I use that every shoot. My 24-70, every shoot. Those giant ass strip boxes, collecting dust. But my giant octo soft box, every shoot. If it's something that you're going to use every single shoot, absolutely buy it. It's an investment. You're going to use it in your business. But if it's something that you might kind of sort of maybe use next shoot, but not really sure, rent it. Save yourself the money. The fifth and final question I ask myself is, how many years will I use it? I spent $160 on two cheapo newer strobes. They lasted me for years. I got a real bang for my buck with them. That $50 light kit, I still have the light stands and I still use the light stands. And I have no intention of replacing them until the little wheels fall off. If it ain't broke, why fix it? And my tripod, which unfortunately I need to replace it, but you know what? I've had that thing for almost 10 years and I've dropped it, kicked it, screamed at it, and it has just lasted and survived. But my little fancy Pivo pod, y'all, that thing shattered to pieces. I barely knocked my hip into it and it fell on the floor and fell apart. If I could give y'all one solid golden nugget piece of advice to take away from today's episode, it's this. Before you commit to buying that lens, that strobe, or any significant piece of equipment, rent it first. See how it fits with your workflow and whether it truly enhances your photography. This step can save you from buyer's remorse and ensure your investments are always spot on. Y'all, when I was in college, we had access to a whole library of lenses, equipment, strobes, light stands, you name it, we had access to it. And I took full advantage of that. And I tried out just about every single lens. I thought to myself, you know what, I'm going to try out all these lenses and I'm going to make a list of lenses that I want to own, lenses I will probably rent, but I'm going to take full advantage. I'm glad I did, because your girl would have made a huge mistake by buying every freaking lens on the planet. Last thing, I use an app called Fake Spot. It analyzes and identifies fake reviews and counterfeits. Y'all, this has been my favorite app of all time, or Google Chrome plugin. I cannot tell you how many purchases I avoided on Amazon thanks to this app. It's wonderful. It's free. Remember, the journey to becoming a great photographer, it isn't about stockpiling your gear or acquiring gear acquisition syndrome. It's about thoughtful investments in tools that complement your skill set. They help you constantly learn. And above all, it supports and elevates your creativity. You have everything you need to start your photography. You got light, natural light. Use it. Take advantage of it. The sun doesn't send you a bill for its light. Use what you got, y'all. Use what you got to get what you want. Keep this in mind, y'all. You will find that when there's a will to improve and grow, there's always a way. And it doesn't have to cost the earth, the stars, and the moon. All right, y'all. I'm going to head out. It's about that time. I've got things to do. I know you've got things to do. You've got places to go. If you're listening to this in the morning, you've definitely got a busy day ahead of you. Today's episode was all about embracing the beauty of starting small. Rome was not built in a day. Harry Potter wasn't written in a week. You won't become this genius, skilled, professional photographer overnight. Unless you're in the Matrix, then sure, it can happen. I would love to have something like that. Maybe that's the next step in AI, where I tell them, hey, I want to learn Spanish, and then it loads it into my brain, and then I'm a lean, mean, bilingual walking machine. Don't feel bad if you don't have a warehouse of equipment. You've got heart. You've got hunger. And you've got a camera. Sounds like plenty to me. For those who have not heard, I am starting a Patreon. It is going to be a cozy little corner of the internet. I'm going to share behind-the-scenes videos of my test shoots, editing tips, and more. I'm still figuring out the details, but stay tuned as I get everything up and running. Y'all, this is still very much in its infancy. It is, if you want me to be real, the furthest I've gotten is I'm starting a Patreon. That's it. That's all I got. That was plan A, but I'm thinking April will be a good time to sit down and start planning everything. I might have something launched by May, but I'm not sure. But be on the lookout. I'll keep y'all posted what's going on. And again, if you got a minute, please, please, please go to Spotify, go to Apple, and give this wee little podcast a 5-star review. Keep creating, keep sharing, and most importantly, keep being your awesome, badass self. Hasta pasta. Until next time, adios. Bye. Bye. Bye, y'all. This episode is written and produced by me, your host, Mika McCook. Show notes and transcripts written and organized by Jasmine Baptiste. Like this episode? Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to The Savory Shot wherever you get your podcasts. Or follow me, your host, Mika McCook, on Instagram at Austin Food Guide. Or you can follow the podcast on Instagram at The Savory Shot. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to be featured on the show, email us at podcast@thesavoryshot.com.